Well, good morning. It's great to be with you guys again. Appreciate you having me and my whole family this time. We came with the abbreviated version last go around. Our baby, Lena, was brand new, and now she's not so brand new, so she can travel and do all that good stuff. She's 3 months old, and she's a joy, she's a mess, and she's ours. So we appreciate that. So thanks for having us, and we enjoy this fellowship. Let me pray, and then we'll dive into the Word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are, and we ask that at this time that you will, by the power of your Holy Spirit, open our minds, our hearts, and our ears to hear what you have to say. May my fumblings and stammerings be clarity of be made clear by your Spirit to us. May the power of your Word change us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The text this morning is Ecclesiastes chapter 12, starting at verse 8, which isn't exactly in the section, and then we finish the book. We finish the end of it. So let me read that. So Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 8. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. Besides being wise, the preacher also taught the people knowledge, weighing and studying and arranging many proverbs with great care. The preacher sought to find words of delight, and uprightly he wrote words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and like nails firmly fixed are the collected sayings. They are given by one shepherd. My son, beware of anything beyond these. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, with every secret thing, whether good or evil. This is the word of the Lord. Don't know if we have many fans of the TV show The Office in here, but Creed is one of my favorite characters. And Creed, there's something that was going on, and he went up to a couple people and he said, "You know, Stanley knows about my asthma, and if he knows about my asthma, then I can't scuba." And he says, if I can't scuba, then what has all this been about? What have I been working towards? So for Creed, the end of life is to scuba. The purpose of his job is to dive in the depths of whatever. And Creed's an interesting fella. I don't know if there are many of us who would say that scuba-ing is our end game, but for Creed it was. Well, we ask that question here in Ecclesiastes, what has all this been about? Having some time to come to you folks, I bring you to the end of a book, and what's the purpose? Well, to the preacher, Koheleth, it's not to scuba, thankfully, but it is to point us to the Lord. And as I bring you to the end of this, there's a folk singer, David Wilcox, who has a song, and one of the lyrics says, let's start with the ending and get it out of the way. Now, the purpose of that lyric is talking about relationships. Like, let's get the arguing out of the way. Let's get the bad stuff out of the way. Now, let's just go ahead and deal with it up front. And in a sense, for Ecclesiastes, it is somewhat helpful to look at the ending here so that when you go back to read the rest of the book, you see the purpose of Ecclesiastes. You see why things were written and what they were written about. If there's one thing you can cling to as you leave today, the theme here for the end is that words matter. So if there's a phrase you want to hold on to when I'm long gone and way in your rearview mirror, you can say, well, that guy talked about words matter out of the book of Ecclesiastes. So let's dive here into our text and talk about words matter. The preacher here gives us his process for writing the book. He says, besides being wise, the preacher, so he's talking in the third person, which maybe some of y'all do, it's fun sometimes. But he's saying, the preacher also taught the people knowledge, weighing and studying and arranging many proverbs with great care. So he taught wisdom, but he also taught knowledge. So, you know, there's a little crowbar separation between wisdom and knowledge, knowing what to do with something more so than just knowing what it is. But here in verse 10, the preacher sought to find words of delight. And this is where the book of Ecclesiastes gets a bit of a bad showing. You get in some trouble because you go to Ecclesiastes like, ah, this is a cynical book of the Bible. It's negative. The guy just talks in circles. He says the same thing over and over again. And it usually doesn't come out to be a great thing on the other end of the production. But really what he's saying is these words are intentional. They're purposeful. They're important. And I meant for them to be words of delight, words of joy. So when you see the phrase, everything under the sun, it means like life now. Like we have this one life. Like we mentioned in the children's sermon, you have this one life to enjoy. Yes, life is cyclical. There's going to be a lot of bad stuff happening. And we'll dip back into some of Ecclesiastes here in a minute. But tough stuff happens. But even in that tough stuff, what does it mean to delight in this one life that is given to us? So it is, they're sought to be words of delight, and uprightly he wrote words of truth. So they're words that are to be a delight, they're to be a joy, but they're also truthful. It's hard to deliver truth. Now, this past week has been an interesting week for words anyway. How many of you got caught up in the Laurel versus Yanni debate on social media? Anyone? You say one thing and you hear another, right? It gets you into this existential dilemma with your brothers and sisters, your spouse, your neighbors. It's like, I know I said that, but someone else heard something else. What is this? Where's my mind? What does life mean? This is crazy. How does this happen? Anyway, there's this clip played, and some people heard one word, and some people heard another word. Then all the tech gurus got out there and divided the clip up and said, well, here's why some people can hear this way, and here's why some people can hear things that way. And it's cool, and it's weird, and it's scary to see how we can get our words mixed up. But also in the realm of the church world, there's a pastor, and I don't want to name names, but he mentioned in a sermon recently that the Old Testament needs to be unhitched from the New Testament, meaning, well, he says, well, the people in my congregation know what that means, so you folks out there who listen to my podcasts or whatever that is, you don't need to worry about it so much. But words matter, because if you say you're going to unhitch the Old Testament from the New Testament, then maybe you don't know the words of our church fathers and what heresy is and what it means that people have already been down this road to say, well, maybe the Old Testament really doesn't matter as much. All we need is the revelation of Jesus. But we see here in this text where it talks about one shepherd, and we hear from that shepherd here. We hear from that shepherd in Ezekiel as people will be re-shepherded and properly shepherded. And we hear of the good shepherd in John 10. Words matter. How you understand Scripture matters. And the Koheleth preacher, Solomon here, wants you to know that words matter. How do you share those words? Are they words of truth and words that delight? So, words matter. They're words of pleasure. Preacher isn't just being negative, as I mentioned before. The point isn't that he's complaining about life. It's like, how do we make sense of everything under the sun? In a sense, Ecclesiastes is a book where Solomon tries to just view things as he can view them. But we see here at the end, and we see also in the middle of Ecclesiastes, that you can't view life without the lens of the Creator, without understanding and seeking to know who God is. Actually, you look at creation as what is God teaching us? How do we see what He wants us to know? And most importantly, by His Word. And these positive words are, live life now. You're always waiting for the next phase. You know, my children are waiting for the next grade, maybe middle school, maybe the summer to sleep, right? Maybe college because you have some freedom. Maybe basketball season, maybe baseball season, maybe things will get better. Maybe if I'm single, when I get married, maybe if I'm married, when I have children, maybe when I have children, I don't have to deal with my children anymore. You know, all those sorts of, you're always waiting for the next level for things to be better. And Solomon says, no, enjoy it now, in its tumult, in its distress, in the joys, in the sorrows. Figure out what it means to live and be present in your life now. So they're words of pleasure. They're not just negative. But these words of truth and words of pleasure can also come with some pain. Look at verse 11. The words of the wise are like goads. And like nails fixed firmly are the collected sayings. A goad is a shepherding instrument. You could say, I guess, a farming instrument for cattle or any other type of farming animal, especially sheep, obviously talking about shepherd here. But it's pretty much something you put spikes on the end of it and you just poke the beast so it'll get moving wherever you want it to go. And that seems difficult. It seems tough. Maybe you want that for your own parenting, right? It's like, stick you, go over here to school, do your homework. Sometimes you want to do that to your spouse. If only you'd listen. Here's a goad right in your kidney. Just do what I'm saying. But with words of pleasure and words of truth, with a goad, it's more of the, what is this word of truth? How do I understand the difficult sayings of the Bible. Actually, if you'll flip with me to a familiar passage, if we're being shepherded by God's Word, you could flip over to 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Words. God's Word informs our Word, informs our correction, and corrects us before we can offer our own words of correction. And so the preacher here says the words of the wise are like goads. They move us along the way. They're difficult, but they also delight. And something that is interesting here, the preacher is telling us, throughout Ecclesiastes, how can we figure out this Creator God? How do we understand what life is? But also tells us here that God is a shepherd. So God is both majestic and grand, ultimate Creator, can breathe anything into existence, gave us the breath of life. Isn't that a great understanding of how God saves? Not only did He create Adam with His own breath, but we need the Spirit to breathe our second life into us, our second birth, being made new in Him. At both those instances, that the Creator God becomes amazingly personal. And here we have the shepherd telling us, well, showing us that He is near. The shepherd doesn't goad from afar. He doesn't correct as if He's some distant dictator. He is close by because He's given us His Word that we might grow in Him. So He's both Creator. You look back at chapter 12, verse 1. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth. He is Creator. Back here in verse 11, but He is also a shepherd. He is majestic and He is personal. His Word is majestic and near. Words, though, can also distract. So in verse 11, we see that words can be painful, but they correct us. They're profitable, but words can also distract. My son, beware of anything beyond these. Of making many books, there is no end, and much study is a weariness of flesh. Now, this is probably something you can paint, for those of you who have that cool hand lettering thing going on, give to a college student and be like, look, yeah, studying is crazy. Put this up in your dorm room. You don't need to worry about it so much, because the Bible says, of making many books, there is no end, and much studiness is weariness of flesh. That's not the point that he is getting at here. What he is saying is for those who study and aren't willing to come to an answer, God's truth isn't just a, well, here's something just in case you might want to, you know, study something. This is the word of truth. It reveals to us who God is. And when it reveals to us who God is, we have to do and know something, do something about it. How do we respond to this Creator God? How do we know who this shepherd is? So words can distract if you're someone who is always questioning but never arriving at answers. You're actually opposed to answers. Some people, what's the saying? It's about the journey, not the destination. Well, there is no journey if there's no destination. If there's no destination, you're just wandering, right? And so if you're getting from this place to that, who knows? Your end point may end up being something different, but the journey matters because of what the destination is. And the writer here is saying the destination is the shepherd. The destination is the fear of the Lord. The destination is to know God. Words of upright truth. Of upright truth. So in the end, it's all about God's glory. The end of the matter. I want to back up just a little bit. Look back at verse 8. The reason I started there, vanity of vanities, says the preacher. All is vanity. That word has gotten a bad run in our English translations for a while. I think the NIV says meaningless, meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Well, the Hebrew word, yes, means vanity. You can take it to meaningless, but really what the word means is vapor, mist. Life isn't meaningless. It's a breath. Flip back to Psalm 39. If you have your Bibles. If not, just listen. Psalm 39, verses 5 and 6. Behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is as nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath. That's the same word, breath, as what they use for vanity and meaninglessness. So I encourage you, when you read Ecclesiastes again, that you substitute vanity and meaninglessness for something that's a little, maybe a little more abstract, but as a breath. I mean, think about life. Can you hold on to life with your hand? Can you grab mist? Can you do anything with the wind around you? No. Well, that's life is a breath. It's a mist. Ecclesiastes just confronts us with understanding that our time here is short. Our time here is negligible in the realm of history, but it is important to this shepherd. So with the time that we have, we look back here in verse 13, the end of the matter, all has been heard, whether it's vanity, meaninglessness. But you think about the end of the matter, this breath of a life that you have, what are you to do with it? Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. You flip back just a little bit, chapter 3, verse 11. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, He has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. So for those who want to just question for the sake of questioning and arrive nowhere, the Lord tells us here, God has made these things difficult to figure out. Know Him, fear Him. For someone like Solomon, who has somewhat of a sordid life, not a difficult, he got himself into all kinds of messes, But he says here, the end of the matter, as I've looked at life, trying to understand it in just a human way, I can do nothing but come back to what I know of the Lord. We are to fear Him, to know Him. Life is tough. Again, chapter 4, verse 1. Again, I saw all the oppressions that are done under the sun, and behold, the tears of the oppressed, and they had no one to comfort them. On the side of their oppressors, there was power, and there was no one to comfort them. So in life, you're going to face difficulties. But how do we face difficulties? Focused on the fear of the Lord, focused on what He desires for us. Nothing goes unnoticed by our God. He's not that distant figure. He is our shepherd. He has come to us. He's the shepherd. He's not only the shepherd, He's the gate into the sheepfold. It is Him that we find life in. Truth is for now. It's not something you delay until later. Previously we mentioned, we're always waiting for the next phase of life because that might make me comfortable. That might be what I need. And a preacher here says, I've talked a lot in this book, and really truth you need to see is for now. Upright words are for now. And we must find a way to make those pleasurable, but be honest with each other. How do we in our fellowship correct one another? How do we lift up and encourage one another? How do we admonish one another in the light of His Word? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh. And in that Word, we find grace upon grace in Him, in that person, not in ideas. Because the words that we know are ultimately in the Word that we know as our Savior, Jesus. So here in Ecclesiastes, there is an argument that these words were made by the shepherd. This book, although seemingly negative, is here by divine authorship. It was written, it was given to us by this one shepherd. And do we seek truth? Are we a truth-seeking people? If it wasn't for my social media feed, I wouldn't have known that there was this big wedding yesterday. And Kelly and I were talking about it a little bit. But you can see, as all the grandeur, pomp, and circumstance that there is there, you could see what it's like to have all religion and no faithfulness. You see what it's like to have all the show and no truth. You can see what it's like to spend all kinds of money to do a beautiful thing and for the Savior to be absent. And so in our own simplicity, in our own family lives, do we speak these words of truth? Do we encourage one another with words of uprightness? Do we delight in each other? And most of all, do we delight in our Savior and long for His Word to us? Because in the end, verse 14, for God will bring every deed into judgment, every secret thing, whether good or evil. How beautiful is it to be covered in the righteousness of Christ, so that when the God of all eternity looks at us, He sees His good deeds and His works, and He doesn't see our sins and our misdeeds. Now, what we do matters, yes. What does it mean? How do we follow? That's a whole other series of sermons. But does the Word matter? And is the Word defining us? This Word, and the Word is our Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And by Him, we are made new. It is in His work that we are given His righteousness. And it's in His righteousness only that we can do things that You have planned from all eternity to do. Lord, shape us as Your people. Shape us individually and as families and as your church, as your called out ones to be the witness in this community and the various communities with which we live throughout the week, witness of your word and your truth. May we speak sweet words, Lord, and you continue to deliver your sweet word of truth into our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.